former U.S. Agency for International Development workers we met in Kenya are now unemployed after the Trump administration effectively dismantled the foreign aid agency. One remains in Nairobi, volunteering to continue the work that she started. The other is headed back home to Ohio, where he will try to have an open mind in considering why some Americans think the work he did abroad was wasting taxpayer dollars. One will fulfill the mission she started, which will fill her heart. One will seek understanding, so his heart won't be filled with anger and hate. It's Wednesday, July 16th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Fissures widen in Israel's government. An ultra-Orthodox party announced plans to leave Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's coalition. The party, United Torah Judaism, cited disagreements over a bill granting military draft exemptions for religious students, an issue that has long divided Israelis and intensified amid war in Gaza. The move will increase Mr. Netanyahu's reliance on far-right parties during ceasefire discussions. Syria proclaimed a ceasefire. The announcement by its defense minister came after days of sectarian violence in southern Sweida province. Clashes between local Sunni Bedouin tribes and Druze armed factions, reported in this space Tuesday, escalated after security forces intervened. A Britain-based observatory said 135 people were killed over 48 hours. Also, a team of astronauts returned from space. NASA retiree turned private astronaut Peggy Whitson splashed down in the Pacific Tuesday after her fifth trip to the International Space Station. She was joined by crewmates from India, Poland, and Hungary, returning from their country's first space station missions. The return flight concluded the fourth such mission organized by the Texas-based startup Axiom Space in collaboration with SpaceX. The 18-day trip included more than 60 microgravity experiments. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. By one estimate, 233,000 people, including 19,000 Americans, have lost their jobs either with the U.S. Agency for International Development, as USAID is formerly known, or with its contractors. This is a story about two of them. Two people who found fulfillment serving their country by serving others. It is also a story about a sector in transition. Pruning foreign aid may lead to new strategies for helping people in poorer countries succeed. If we as development professionals do a good job, we eventually put ourselves out of business, says Tracy Kajewski Correa, director of the Pulte Institute for Global Development at the University of Notre Dame. Erica Page reports from Nairobi, Kenya for The Monitor. If there is one thing everyone knows about Germany, it's that its trains are on time. Except that's not true at all. These days, one-third of long-distance trains run late. More than the German reputation is at stake. For a nation accustomed to competence from its government, the railway crisis is a pivotal test for the new government. Mark Sappenfeld reports from Berlin for The Monitor. New England has been undergoing a quiet river revolution. The removal of thousands of small dams used to power mills during the Industrial Revolution that have clogged local waterways for more than 250 years. There are attending costs and trade-offs to reconcile. But despite federal reversals of eco-friendly protections, environmental stewards here in America's most densely dammed region see a path to healthier waterways, better oxygenated and teeming with fish and other forms of life. Cameron Pugh and Alfredo Sosa report from Yarmouth, Maine, for The Monitor. For years, South Korea's version of the White House has effectively been a public museum. Now, President Lee Jae-myung, elected in June after his predecessor was removed from office for a short-lived imposition of martial law, plans to return to the Blue House. Tours of the residence are being curtailed in mid-July and will end August 1st to prepare for Mr. Lee. That has thousands of tourists flocking to catch a final glimpse inside. It also has some South Koreans debating the proper use of the Blue House and similar palatial offices and exploring what such buildings can mean to a nation. Ann Scott Tyson reports from Seoul for The Monitor. Many of us fantasize about getting away to a remote island. For one writer, a summer spent helping with duck breeding season on a remote island off of the Norwegian coast taught him the importance of slowing down. Our book reviewer finds stories about people who engage with the natural world and the critters that inhabit it particularly soothing. And she found that The Place of Tides by James Rebanks, a best-selling author who's also a farmer in northwestern England's Lake District, really fits the bill. Contributor Heller McAlpin writes for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on South Africa's hints of clean governance. As its citizens demand integrity in their government, South Africa's recent moves against corruption are gaining traction. In June, for example, a global financial watchdog indicated that Africa's largest economy has made progress in curtailing illegal money transfers, perhaps allowing it to raise its credit standing. And a South African government watchdog found that anti-corruption tribunals have shown significant effectiveness in recovering stolen public funds and holding perpetrators accountable. Now, a new challenge is testing President Cyril Ramaphosa and his commitment to rooting out corruption, especially among his political allies. In early July, a provincial police chief publicly claimed that the National Minister of Police had sought to sabotage investigations of political killings. The claim also alleged the minister's collusion with criminal syndicates and the involvement of other politicians, as well as law enforcement officers and judicial officials. Acknowledging that the allegations raised serious concerns, Mr. Ramaphosa placed the police minister on leave and announced a commission of inquiry. The incoming acting police minister, Feroz Kachalia, is a respected legal expert and veteran of the anti-apartheid struggle. He is expected to implement recommendations for police reform recently proposed by the National Anti-Corruption Advisory Council, which he led. Mr. Ramaphosa's actions are being met with cautious optimism, perhaps heavier on the caution. A recent study showed that pervasive distrust of government and personal encounters with corruption have exerted a toll on civic norms. Yet for crime reporter and author Karen Dolly, who has faced death threats for her work, the latest anti-graft moves offer a fragment of hope that deep-rooted corruption will finally be dealt with. Tuanfametse Zambanda, a law professor at the University of Limpopo, the Commission on Police Corruption could mark the beginning of a new era of integrity. Uprooting corruption requires justice through the rule of law, commentator Rudy Kimi wrote in the Mail and Guardian on Sunday. But, he noted, that task is not government's alone. It is everyone's responsibility, he wrote, one that calls for cultural shifts and personal agency. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how getting to know God as life itself empowers us to experience more tangibly the abundance of divine goodness. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.